Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Hello.
So when we're recording this, we haven't actually got into half term yet.
No, we're trying to get ahead, aren't we?
Yeah, we're being good. We decided that we would, obviously, because this is everything that we kind of promote on the podcast is making the juggle work for you. And we decided to get ahead of ourselves so that we can have a dedicated week with our children, which is going to be great. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's Friday morning, probably, when most people are listening to this. What do you reckon you're going to be doing right now? Are you going to be hiding in the laundry room, do you reckon?
Do you know what? We're actually going down to Camber Sands and we are going to go away. We've managed to rent a house with our mates for like 5 days, and we're going to take the kids down. We're just praying for good weather. We did it a couple of years ago and it's absolutely gorgeous. It's kind of the neck of the woods that I was brought up in. So we're going to go and have some wholesome British summer fun.
British fun. Oh, yeah. That sounds wonderful.
What about you?
Well, I don't know. We've got a bit of a funny week. We've got like Axel's got clubs on certain days. Gigi's obviously at nursery. Well, it's my birthday on the Monday. Then Gigi's at nursery on the Tuesday. So I never like to take her out, even no. If we've got something going on. So I think you're going to spend a bit of time with my parents. We've got, yeah, just like a few, some friends over, that kind of thing. I feel a bit bad. Like, do you feel like in half term you have to be doing things, you know, like you have to be booking to go to theme parks and all that kind of stuff. And it's come around and I just don't want to. I just don't want to do it.
That's good. That's okay. Mate, like, yeah. Don't do anything that you don't want to do. I think now the world's opened back up again, we're supposed to get along with the pace that it's going, but actually it's quite nice just to stand still and have play dates at home or just mooch around your area or still, like, don't forget we've had these conversations where lockdown was so brilliant in many ways in terms of just walking out with the kids and you know, putting on the wets and just going off on into forests or across fields, and just don't worry about the pressure of like booking stuff in every day. It's all too much.
Yeah, I also feel like Axel's exhausted.
Yes.
He gets so much homework. Like, I can't, just so much. And then he has clubs like 3 or 4 days a week after school. And I think he's just going to be like, oh, I just want a break. Like, I just want to rest. Yeah. So we're going to be having, hopefully, a bit of a chilled half term. Yeah, just catching up with people, having his mates round, that kind of thing.
And hopefully some bloody sunshine.
Oh my gosh, I really hope so. This is a joke. It's an actual joke, isn't it? Have we ever known this?
No.
Like, this bad weather in May?
This is the wettest weather. Oh. Sorry, this is the wettest May we have had in, I think it was like 100 years or something, I said on the radio last weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's over now. So now we're getting into June. Come on, the June sunshine.
Yeah, come on. Now, today we are going to be discussing all things like kids' relationships. I mean, I don't know if you found this tricky. I found it tricky, particularly with friendships at school and like, how does he navigate those? You know, when you can't, well, we can now, but we could only, you know, do things with a couple of friends recent, you know, before he could pick 6 friends to go to the park with or whatever. Mm. And it's been difficult, you know, like lots of the parents have been like, God, what do you do about parties? What do you do about play dates? Do you invite the mum and dad to the play date? Or is it just you take the the child home with you, you know, and then they come and collect. There's so much to navigate. And then also with grandparents, and it's difficult when you're making the decisions for your children about how their relationships work.
Yeah. And I think it's important not to make those decisions for them. I mean, you have to on some level, but I think they've got to be able to be armed with hopefully the right kind of social skills to be able to navigate those friendships. And I haven't really got into it yet because we are, well, you know, we're still at preschool and it's not the same structure. Luna's got some mates who are my friends' kids and she hangs around with those a lot. Kit, he just doesn't, like, I feel quite bad, but he doesn't really have that many mates of his own. Like, he's got little, there's two kids at school, Stanley and James, and he talks about them all the time and they are his best friends. But I don't hang out with them outside of school because we haven't been able to. Like, I haven't been able to invite their mums over or do anything like that. So yeah, I feel like we've got it to come, but I just try and make them as social as possible because we are, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's really my only goal, is just to make sure that they can handle themselves in any situation.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that's going to fucking work or not, but we'll see.
Who knows? Right, let's jump into the questions. Dealing with mean kids when yours is so social and friendly.
Oh my God. Well,
this is so hard.
No, I can't go into too many details about it, but basically this has happened to me recently.
Yes, you did tell me.
Without going too hardcore on all the details, it was one of the weirdest situations and it was the first time it had ever happened. And it really, really upset me because obviously I feel like our three are just lovely and warm and friendly and smiley and caring and they just wouldn't hurt anyone else. And this child that they were around was the complete opposite. And like, it was really tough because I was just like, okay, he's only little, he doesn't mean it. But it's very difficult to navigate. And eventually I said to Doz, look, I'm not comfortable with this and I think we might have to go. And, you know, he was just outwardly being quite sort of aggressive towards the kids. And it's very, very, very tricky. That's all I'll say on it. But we did stay. And we felt a bit, I felt a bit, like a little bit traumatized at the end of it. Because it wasn't just a kid being naughty or playing up. It was like quite extreme. So I think in those situations, my advice is get hold of the parents and say, look, not really comfortable with how this is going, you know, can we sort of interject or maybe remove your kid from the situation? I just went into the other room and went, oh my God, what's going on? I don't like it. It's really, like, it does affect you. Like it's hard for me to talk about, but it did affect me.
Yeah, I had this earlier in the year with Axel. A boy at school was kind of being really mean to him, hitting him, punching him. And it's really difficult to know what to do. And I did actually put a little bit of a poll up on Instagram.
Yes.
Like, you know, do you go to the parents when it's in school environment or do you go to the teachers? And like 99% of people said, go to the teacher.
Yes.
Which we did. And hopefully it was fine. But I think what I find really tricky is you don't want your child to become like a walkover where people think they can just hit them and punch them and they're not going to do anything. But equally, like I said to Axel, what do you do when he does that? And he goes, I just ignore him and I'm just not bothered. And I think that's such a great way to be. But you kind of want, I kept saying to him, practice your angry voice. Practice your angry voice. Say, don't do that again. He was going, don't do that again. And I was like, okay. And I just think some kids are just not, like they're like this person saying, when your children are social and friendly, some people just don't have that bone in their body to retaliate. And if they just want to ignore it and if it's not bothering them, I think sometimes you've got to let them kind of just ignore it and think, okay, they're handling it, they're not upset.
Luna kept coming over to me going, Mummy, I'm scared for Kit. Oh, I'm scared for Kit. And I was like, oh my God. I think if you're at school, the right thing to do is go to the teacher. But if you're in a social situation with other friends and whatever else, then you just got to speak to the parents and just go, listen, can you get a hold of your kid? Because they're being X, Y, and Z. Just front on.
Hard, so hard.
Is it okay not to like some of your child's friends? Oh, this is going to be such a good Q&A. I can feel it already. Oh, I think it is. I think it's fine think not to like some of your child's friends.
I mean, I was speaking to my mum about this when I saw this question, and she said when I was younger, there were so so many of my friends that she didn't like, and she decided to just not say anything because otherwise it would have pushed me further towards them. And she just hoped that I saw it too. And I think I did. You know, I think, you know, your kids will know who they like playing with and who they don't like playing with.
Totally. Totally.
Persuading them to like grandma and my bestie. She screams at them if they get too close. Oh,
oh God.
This is hard.
Oh, God, this is hard. But you know what? You cannot push a child. No. And I think we're all guilty of saying like, oh, go on, you know, go and give granny a cuddle, a big cuddle. Go on, tell granny how much you love her. And they're like, oh, I don't really want to. Like, I'm just playing with my Barbie or doing whatever I'm doing. I think if you leave them, and actually Chris from Expect the Best said this on the podcast that we did with them a couple of weeks ago, that actually, you know, you can say hello and say, look, I know you're busy doing something, but I'm just over here. If you want to come and play with me, I've got this really amazing drawing that we could do together, or I've got this, you know, board game that we could play or whatever. And let the child come to your mum, come to granny.
Absolutely. Yeah? We were at my family's house on Sunday, and obviously Gigi hasn't been around them as much as Axel has been. And my uncle was like, oh, I think she hates me. And so was my cousin. He was like, God, she really doesn't like me. And we were laughing about it. But, you know, by the end of the day, she was all over them and she was playing with them. She just needed that time. Because it is weird, especially at the moment, you know, our children aren't used to being around certain people that they maybe would have been around a lot. So, yeah, we've just got to let them navigate that and not force them into it.
Totally. My daughter's grandparents give her so much sugar and it drives me mad. Help. Oh, God.
This is my mum and dad. This is my mum and dad.
Well, you better answer it then.
I'm like so split. So before, my mum used to have Axel 3 or 4 days a week sometimes. And if she was giving him too many treats then, I used to say to her, Mum, come on. Like, he can't. You just can't give him whatever he wants all the time because this is going to become too much. But now my parents don't see the children as much, or like on a, you know, not a formal basis, but, you know, they're not providing us childcare. I kind of let it go. I kind of let them just get on with it because it's only, you know, once every few weeks or,
yeah,
I don't know. I think it's difficult. And I think if you're very, very uncomfortable with it and you don't let your child have sugar, then definitely they, you know, they should respect your wishes. But I just think there's that balance of, like not, I don't know.
Have the conversation.
Yeah, you just need to talk about it. Yeah.
Like, that's what Georgia's trying to say. You need to have the conversation. Yeah. If it matters to you that much and it's not, like Georgia said, once every 3 weeks or whatever, and it's like just the grandparents spoiling them. But if they're providing regular childcare for you, doing after school clubs or whatever it is, pickups, you need to just say, listen, guys, it's really important for me to have it in my head that they're getting all the right nutrients, sugar's, you know, does X, Y, and Z with them. You're doing an amazing job, but please, can we just leave it to like a Friday once a week?
Yeah,
or
give them alternatives. Like, say to them, oh, you can get these bars, which, you know, are great, and they really love those. So maybe just give those to them instead or whatever. Managing relationships with stepchildren and husband's ex-partner.
It's like we should be best friends. This is the one I can answer. Okay, managing relationships with stepchildren, really difficult. Depending on what age you met your stepchild, that has big implications, I think, on relationship building. Obviously, if little one is very young, then there is a real kind of natural instinct for them to be bonded to you, because when they're not with their mum, they're going to look for a mother figure. If you get into a stepchild that's potentially a bit older and there's been a breakup and they understand a little bit more, that can be tricky. But I think it's really important always with stepchildren that it's not their fault, and all they want is to have peace and harmony. And really, fundamentally, all they want is their parents to still be together. And I know that that doesn't leave you anywhere, but if you can have that deep level of understanding that your role is to be their friend, is to share interests with them, is to look after them, to be a buffer, like, it can be a really special relationship with you and a stepchild, because they can tell you stuff that they wouldn't necessarily tell their mum or dad, you know, or you know, whatever the situation is, but you can really be there to be like an aunt figure that can kind of confide in them and share with them. With the ex, I think it's really important to let them know that you're no threat, that you are going to be guided by what, you know, your partner and your stepchild's mum wants and all of that sort of stuff. And just try and take yourself, try and be the mediator in it all. You've got no gripe. You've got no gripe with the with your husband's ex-partner, have you? So there's just, and there's nothing to feel threatened about or worried about because he's with you now. So yeah, I mean, that's what I did with this situation, my end, and it's really worked. We're all on a WhatsApp group now. We all share photos. She came around here for Kit's birthday and was in the garden for a couple of hours, which was lovely. You know, it's really, really nice now. And it wasn't. It was horrendous.
Yeah.
Oh, it's tricky. But failing that, dig deep and drink a lot of wine.
The answer to every question
yes.
on here.
My child is shy. He's three. And would love some advice on building his confidence, George.
Oh, do you know what? There's quite a lot of questions around this. And I think it's going to be so natural after this year that a lot of children are going to be feeling shy and not know how to handle social situations. But I think it's just that slowly, slowly approach. You know, if they don't feel comfortable going into a room where, you know, there's loads of children at a club or whatever, then I think it's about just kind of navigating it. So you surround yourself with children more often. So maybe it's going to a soft play where you're there with him. And then, you know, the next time you go to a club, you kind of stay for half an hour to watch, or you go to a play group where you're there as well. And then you slowly kind of take yourself out of the situation as they feel more comfortable. But also, in life, people are shy. You know, there are people who are shy, and there are people who are introvert, people who are extrovert. And it's kind of some people's personality, you know, that they are shy. So I think I wouldn't worry like too much about it, as long as you're giving them the opportunity to socialize. I think that's probably the most important thing.
Really good advice, George. And also just using the right language around it, just making sure that they know that you're going to be there and that they're safe and that they're going to have fun. And I think as parents, we're kind of like, oh, you're not shy. Stop being so shy. Oh, come on. That, you know, this isn't you. And I've heard myself saying it with Luna, but actually she just needed me to give her a bit of reassurance that I was going to be here and she could go off and play and that she could just see me all the time and I'd just give her a wave. And, you know, slowly, slowly, she just started to open up again in social situations. And it's happened quite quickly. So like George said, don't be worried.
Yeah, exactly. I've got the same with Gigi. She has like 10 or 20 minutes where she's shy, and then as soon as she feels comfortable, then she kind of comes out of herself more. Grandparents, in-laws always wanting to take photos of kids and post on social media help. How to tell them to stop without offending them? I bet this is really common, actually.
Wow, yeah. Do you know what? It's just about communicating that with them. It's nothing to be worried about. You know, this is your child we're talking about here. So if you don't want your child on social media and somebody's breaking that, just sit them down very calmly and just say, we've had a, you know, I don't know who it is, but like me and your son or daughter have had a conversation and said, we don't want to have our child on those platforms for these reasons. So please feel free to take as many photographs as you like, but could you not put them up on Facebook? They love a Facebook. They love it.
They do.
They absolutely love it. I had this thing with my mum where I would tell her something about work and then it hadn't been confirmed or I hadn't signed a contract, and then she'd go and put it all over Facebook and I'd be like, oh my God, you cannot announce it. It hasn't even been sorted yet. So I just had to tell her. And now I go, mum, and she goes, not a word. I won't go anywhere near Facebook with it. And I'm like, yeah, good. So just have the chat. It's
fine.
The
thing is as well, they're just proud, you know, they just want to show off their grandchildren. But I completely get it. I think about it as well. You know, when I've got, I don't know, say we're out and about, especially on Mummers, we're out and about with Axel and some of his mates, I would never post that on social media because I don't know how the other parents feel about it. And it's just the world we live in. I think you need to have, you know, you kind of need to have that conversation with all parents. You know, when they start school, they have to sign it. You have to just sign a disclosure form, don't you, to say that you're happy for them to go on social media. So it's just a conversation that's going to come up so often. That you need to have.
Yep, you do. My stepdad spends more time with baby than my actual dad, granddad. What should I do?
I'm not in this situation, but I sort of feel like if your stepdad is really interested in having a relationship with your baby, then, you know, that's amazing. Mm. And as long as you're giving your dad the opportunity to have that as well, then it's kind of up to him.
Yes, I agree.
As long as, you know, you're not making it really difficult for your dad and you're making it really easy for your stepdad.
Yeah.
And he might feel a bit, you know, outed. But I just, yeah, I think it's about both giving them both equal opportunity to get involved.
And if there is a conversation, obviously, you know, I'm all about the conversations. If there is a conversation to be had, if you feel like your dad is not stepping up to be there for you and supporting, you know, his grandchild, then that's a separate thing. I don't think the two should be linked. I don't think the fact that your stepfather is doing more, I think that's really great. And like, wow, that's lucky. You've basically, your child has got two like grandfather figures in their life. Amazing. That's incredible. But if you feel like your dad isn't pulling his weight with his grandchild, that's another conversation, and that's separate to your stepfather, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like we've got our child, our lovely child minders who look after the kids. My kids call them Nana and Grandad.
Yeah.
But they're just like these lovely people that, I mean, they're like family to us, but they're not, you know. And my mum lives in Kenya and never sees them. So it's like, it is difficult and it is challenging, but I think it's more about the time that they do spend together as quality.
And also, I think you've got to think about the children, and it's wonderful for them to have that figure in their life, whether that's a biological figure or not a biological figure. Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter. It's just lovely for them to be loved by as many people as they, you know, they possibly can be.
Yeah.
There's one here from Rachel. Clear favourite grandparents. Awkward when they see each other with the kids and are obviously closer.
Yes.
I think this will come up so much because it's based on, like, I guess how much time they spend with different sets of grandparents. Like, my parents live a certain distance away from us, but I am the only child. So they see my kids a lot because they don't have other grandchildren, you know, they don't have to split their time between other grandchildren. James's family live a little bit closer to us, but they have got six other grandchildren that they, you know, they look after. And I don't know. I think it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, like, you do feel like that. But like we've said before, kids are so fickle. Like, they have a favourite parent one week and then they'll change their mind the next week. You know,
it can be really hurtful though. And I think we can spend a lot of our time feeling pain around it. Like, why won't our parents be more involved in our child's life? You know, I ask myself that a lot. You know, how can my mum choose to live in Kenya when her grandchildren live here? How? Mm. How on earth? And I spent the first year of Luna's life going, I just don't get it. Like, she's running it, you know, doing her life over there and whatever else. And then I was just like, this is her life. This is what she's choosing to do. I cannot keep beating her up about her choices. She's an amazing, amazing grandma when she sees the kids. She wants to do Zooms with them. She's really involved. She feeds the monkeys with them. She, like, takes them down to the sea to look at the hermit crabs. Like, this is her. She'll talk them into the ground about what's going on with the moon and the tides and the sea. Like, they'll learn loads from her, but she's not going to be the granny that's there every single day going, oh, should I pick them up from school? Or do you want me to have them for the weekend? Because she's just not here. So I've accepted that now, and now I'm okay with that. And I think there is something to be said about accepting the sort of grandparents that your grandparents are to your kids. You know, you can have the conversations, you can ask them to do more, but if they fundamentally won't, you're going to have to let it go.
Yeah, and like, and also, like I said, you know, it could be that they work more. You know, one set of grandparents retired and one set are still working every day.
Yep.
It's, I think, when you kind of strip it all back, it's about what your children, you know, what your children are getting. And if they feel loved by both sets of grandparents and they both offer them different things, or not, you know, not biological grandparents, like you said, Zoe, like, you know, childminder figures that are of a sort of a grandparent age.
Yes.
It's just all about them having that experience of being around different types of people. We'll be right back after the short break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So, welcome back. Back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Where were we?
I feel like I need to sort of answer this one because stepdaughter has become very jealous towards me since I had my baby. What can I do? Now, the person that's messaged us in, I'll keep it anonymous because I don't know if they want me to share their name, but that is so common. And I think especially if you had a close relationship with your stepdaughter and it was just the two of you kind of navigating life together at home with your partner, their dad or mom. I hear you, and I've definitely experienced it to a degree with Isla. And in fact, I had it the other day where Isla said to me, "You treat me differently now than you treat Luna and Kit," and it was heartbreaking for me to hear it. In fact, I had to step into the bathroom, and I just floods it. I'm in tears. It was awful because I really try hard not to treat them differently, and my love has to be unconditional for all of them, and I want it to be, and I don't see the differences between them when I'm trying to discipline them. But you do your own child, you know, there is something different about that, obviously, you know, and we are human. So my advice to you, whoever sent in that question, is to try and spend some time one-on-one with your stepdaughter. Try and leave the baby with your partner for couple of hours, whatever it is, and just do something special for you and your stepdaughter so that she knows she still has a role. Imagine, put yourself in her shoes, which is how I see it all with Isla. Mm. Like, how does Isla feel? It was just me and Isla for such a long time, and now she has to, you know, fight Luna and Kit for attention, and there's all that jostle going on. So if you could do something special just for the two of you, I think that's the advice
absolutely.
I'd give you.
Yeah. I guess it's not exactly the same, but it's the same as when you're introducing a sibling into the family home. It's just about making the older sibling feel part of it. You know, I still use language, you know, now with Axel. If Gigi's doing something amazing and I can see he's maybe getting a bit like jealous that she's getting all the attention.
Yep.
I always say, I think it was Chris and Rose. I'm sure it probably was Chris and Rose. All the best advice. They said to me, say to him, "Oh, did you teach her how to do that?"
Yep.
And I do. I really try and always make sure he's involved with everything, because it is, you know, when they're little, they're hitting these milestones that are like, "Oh my God, amazing." And as they get older, those milestones don't come as frequently. And I do think, you know, when Gigi's saying things or she's dancing, we find it so funny because she's little. Whereas with Axel, it's not the same. You know, it's just you don't give that same like, "Oh wow, you skipped," because, you know, he knows how to skip, you know. So I always try and get him involved and say, "Oh, did you teach her that? Oh, bet she learned that off you."
Oh, that's
whatever.
So nice, George.
I do try. There's been quite a few questions on sibling rivalry here.
Yes.
And obviously I never had it. So did you and your sister used to have any like rivalry?
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we hated each other for years and years and years. We would fight and wrestle. And, you know, we joke about this, but Catherine used to basically suffocate, like sit on my head and like basically try and like, because we used to have to have a bath together, and Catherine never wanted to have a bath. So she was like sitting on me going, "If you tell mom that I'm not getting in the bath, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to deck you and give you a dinner." I'm like, it was like proper, you know, it's like full on violence for a long time. But we came through it, and we are the best of friends now. And I think the only thing you can do, I mean, I don't know if you see this with Gigi and Axel, do you see it? Like, how do you handle that?
I was going to say, I do see it. I mean, Axel's temperament is so much more chilled than Gigi. And so when he does something maybe a little bit spiteful towards her, it does shock me. I am a bit like, whoa, I didn't know you had that in you. But one of my friends, when her little sister was born, when her mum used to hoover, she used to pinch her little sister when she was like sleeping or in the car. And her little sister used to cry every time the hoover was on. And for years and years, her mum thought she was scared of the hoover. But actually, it was just because my friend used to pinch her. And I always remind myself of that because my friend is so sweet, so caring, so lovely, and it is not a reflection on her at all. Yeah. So I have to remind myself of that with Axel, you know, like I never had that, you know, I never had a sibling, so I don't know how it goes, but I'm guessing all those things are natural, you know, giving him a bit, he gives her a little bit more of a harder nudge than he probably should, or, yeah, you know, when he's trying to get her off of him, he might push her with a bit more force. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's natural.
Yeah, I think so. I think also we have like a rule in the house where we don't want to hear it, as in,
yeah,
I won't hear any like tittle tattle, any like, oh, Luna comes in, oh, Kit just did this. I'm like, I don't want to hear it. No, I just say, yeah, don't want to hear it. You guys figure it out amongst yourself. But it is exhausting. I mean, last night they were trying to get in the door. They were shoving, pushing. Like, Kit eventually just bit Luna on the side of the arm because he was just fed up with it. And that's what he does to get out of it. But yeah, it is difficult. But at the end of the day, they're not going to be having like fist fights at the age of 20. So, I mean, hopefully not.
I mean, are they? I don't know.
No.
I've got no experience in this department whatsoever. So I'm just learning. I think it's quite funny.
I did leave my sister in Sydney because I couldn't stand her. So I said to her, I was like, stop following me around Australia. Go and do your own thing. So I just left her in Sydney and then I felt really guilty and then told her to come. We met up in a different location. But like, you know,
you're good. Now we're best really mates. Great friends. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It all comes full circle.
Should we do one more?
Let's do one more. Yeah.
I think this one's quite interesting, about kids have poor relationships with in-laws as they're too much, critical and smothering. How to keep a good relationship with the grandparents they rarely see. So there's two different sort of perspectives here. One of the grandparents doesn't see them too much. The other one sees them a lot, but the relationship in both camps isn't going particularly well. I think if you've got grandparents that are smothering and too much, yeah, very, very, very tricky to navigate that. Because if they're your own parents, you could probably have a relationship. But if they're the in-laws, you could probably have the conversation. If they're the in-laws, that's quite difficult. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's hard. And I think as well, like, if you've got in-laws who are very different to your own parents, like, I don't know, for instance, if the one you've mentioned here, like very critical, like if you're not used to that, it can feel, I guess, even more so, like even more heightened. So I guess it's about asking your other half, or, you know, whoever you're raising your child with, how they feel about that as well. Like, is that something that happened to them when they were younger, and has it impacted them? Because
yeah,
they might not even see it. Like that, I think sometimes that's the thing. Like, they're so used to being critical, they don't even know they're doing it.
Nope.
I've had this situation sometimes where Axel's been at the dinner table, and I like I've said probably on weaning podcasts and feeding podcasts, I'm trying to make dinner as chilled as possible, so mm-hmm. it's enjoyable. And I don't care if he's sitting like picking his nose while he's eating dinner. Really doesn't bother me. I would care if he was running around the room. I've got my boundaries. And so if someone comes into your house and starts going, sit up straight, don't eat like that, use your fork, don't use your hands, you know, all of that kind of stuff, it feels like they're attacking you. I mean, this is how I feel. And I think, but they don't know that they're doing it. It's like they don't know. They feel like that's how they should treat children. You know, they need to tell them off. They need to behave like this because that's all they've ever known. So I do think, like, I take kind of the jokey approach. I roll my eyes and I go, no wonder he doesn't want to sit and have dinner with you. Or like, give it a rest. You know,
aggressive. Yeah, I love that.
I think sometimes if you can't sit and have that conversation because you don't feel comfortable, it's how that person's going to react. For me, like in those situations, being a bit jokey gets the point across,
right?
You know, without making a huge deal out of it. And then they're like, oh yeah, I didn't even realize I was doing that.
Yeah.
Or like my mum with Axel, sometimes she just always wants to kiss him and cuddle him. And I'm like, oh my God, Mom.
Give him a break.
Give him a break. Like, let him breathe. And then she suddenly be like, oh yeah, oh yeah, sorry, Axel.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, you know? Yeah. I think that's that, yeah. Rather than feeling angry about a situation, sometimes you've got to think they might not even know that that's how they're behaving.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everybody's just trying to do their best, aren't they? But it is, I think with in-laws and with your own parents, it's really tough sometimes to get that conversation right. Because what you don't want to do is offend anybody, you know, especially with your in-laws, maybe that's going to be taken the wrong way. And oh my gosh, it's a whole nother. In fact, we should probably just do an episode dedicated to the in-laws, how you deal with them. That would be interesting. And maybe we'll get an expert on who can give us some advice on relationships and stuff and how to handle that, because I definitely haven't got it right over the years with Dozzers.
Yeah, same. And it's all about different households and different opinions on how you raise children and how you come together and make it work with all those different opinions.
Totally. So it's that time of the podcast that we give you our five favourite products, the stuff that we've been using non-stop this week. George, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, so this is something that's caught my eye and I've been having a really good look on their Instagram, and I'm just about to book one of their courses. So they do a course, it's called Role Models, and they do an online course for parents, which I thought was incredible. And it's all around like how to instill leadership skills in your children, confidence, all the kind of stuff that we talk about all the time, you know, that we want to get right. They kind of guide you based on how old your kids are.
That sounds good.
Yeah. I think it's really good. And also, like, just check out their Instagram, because they have some like really great advice on there. So
I like that. And it leads on as well from the podcast that we've just done around confidence and shy kids and stuff. So yeah, sounds good. Yeah, so the second product that I'm going to talk about is the Luminous Face Yoga Roller, which I've like massively incorporated into my morning routine now. I just do it for about 30 seconds. I use a face oil. I've been using Little Tropic one, which I'm loving, which has got elixir oil in it. And I just basically go up and down, roll around the face onto the forehead. And it just helps flush out toxins and just shape my face a little bit. So yeah, really love that product.
It's such an interesting concept as well, like, because you can log on and do classes. So like on Luminous Face, you can literally log on like you would a yoga class, and someone takes you through how to use these products. I think when you look on Instagram, you know, people using rollers and gua shas, you think, I don't actually even know where to start. But yeah, you can log on and do like these classes for different things, like whether it's drainage or wrinkles or whatever it is. It's amazing.
Love it.
Really great. This is something for baby. We had Charlotte Sterling Reed on the podcast a couple of months ago, I want to say, but her new book, How to Wean Your Baby, is fantastic. It's so good. I was flicking through it this week. I've used some of the recipes actually on my children, and they're obviously way past the weaning stage. It's very practical, easy to follow. The recipes are realistic as well. It's not so many ingredients. Just big shout out to her and her new book, because it's brilliant.
Love it. I need to give a special shout out to Needle and Thread and their dresses, because Needle and Thread, one of our favourite brands, both Georgia and I love them, but you might not have heard of them. If you have got a really special event, a celebration, a wedding, a lovely party to go to this summer, they would be perfect. They are a little bit more on the sort of pricey side, kind of between $250 and $400 for a dress, but they're the dresses that will last and last and last, and you can keep re-wearing them year after year after year. They're sort of timeless classics, actually.
Yeah,
but make sure you have check them out. Really good.
Love them.
And something for you?
Yeah, last up, you introduced me to this brand, though. Elevine, it's an underwear brand. I would liken it to kind of like Calvin Klein, that kind of non-underwired, which I'm loving.
Yeah.
I'm loving not having underwear now.
Yeah.
But just gorgeous. Like, I think you've got the white set, haven't you?
Yes, and you were talking about getting the black set.
Yes.
Yeah. No, they're good. They're sustainable as well, which we really like. And they come in some great packaging. And I've also got their socks on today, little white sports socks. Just a great brand that we found recently that we wanted to shout out. So thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. Of course, sending in all of your questions. If you can rate, review, subscribe and follow the podcast, that would be amazing.
Yeah, please do. And if you've got any questions about anything we've discussed on the podcast, or any suggestions of things you'd like us to discuss, people you'd like us to chat to, then please do just drop us a DM. We're on at Made by Mummers, or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman, and we'll be back next week.
See you then.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.